Welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. I am here live and in living color, and you all are here, and I just thank God for you all this morning. Welcome each and every one of you to the show. I see we got some people on the line all the way from Cincinnati, Ohio. I tell you, Mr. Versey Walker, this show is reaching new heights and new destinations. How are you this morning?
You know what? Doing fantastically well. Thank you so much, and good morning, everybody.
Good morning. I tell you, we have people from all over New Jersey. We got people from Trenton down in the mid-South Jersey area, people right here from Newark, New Jersey. We want to say good morning to our good friends and wonderful friends, longtime friends. Ms. Z, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. We have Ms. Anjanette, and oh, I tell you, we've got Minister Pat, Ms. Alicia, Mr. Robert, all of these people showing up, Mr. Walker, day by day. And, you know, Woody Allen said that showing up is 80% of success. You know, a lot of people are standing around. You know, some are just standing around wondering which way to go. But I tell you, if they would ever just get a hold of just showing up to things like this, things that are motivating, things that are positive. You know, people, they suck on the negative lemon all day long. They eat from the bowl of negative porridge all day long. And they wonder why their lives are down in a dump. Well, you know what? They're going to keep on wondering because they'll never figure it out until they climb out. Well, I want to get out the way because Wednesday is our midweek motivation. Mr. Walker is hosting the show for us today, so I'm going to move out the way, Mr. Walker, and just let you take it away. Can't thank you enough for your time and your energy that you put into this show.
No, I appreciate it so much. Thanks a lot, Coach Lalisa. I appreciate you and everyone who tunes in each week. And, again, it helps to inspire me to keep on my path and my journey to bring and present information to each and every one of you. And, as usual, I'd like to thank you, and I'd like to thank the audience for listening as well, because this helps me to make sure that I'm on my purpose and I'm, you know, part of my vision and my dream. And you're right. If most people would just show up, they will let the spirit, they will let the empowerment and the motivation show out or present inside of them things that they never thought that they would ever accomplish or ever see. And I know over the past few weeks we've been talking about you know, the fears and various fears and how to overcome them so we can find the success within inside of us. Because typically it's fear that's keeping us from moving forward. It's immobilizing us, and oftentimes it's paralyzing us from seeing the great potential within inside of us. And I know a few weeks ago you were on the show with Karen Blank Adams, and she was talking about the importance of making a decision, whether it's the right one or the wrong one. We don't know until the process is complete, but we need to make that decision. And it forced me to start thinking not only to talk about the fears that are prohibiting us, but also our thinking. And we already know, and most of us know this adage, that fear is actually just false evidence appearing real. But I felt that maybe I should talk about the mind and what's on most people's mind and really the true definition of mind. And also I want to cover the experiences that I've experienced in just the past 3 or 4 weeks in the month of July alone. And the first one was actually going to Harlem and being there at the historical Apollo Theater to see Chris Gardner and his workshop. The next one was a phenomenal weekend that I had there in Newark with you and releasing the Empowerment Brunch and Award Ceremony. And then the one that just recently happened to me that was so awe-inspiring that I could not stop talking about it to anyone who would listen. And that was my trip to North Carolina for a family reunion. And this family reunion is actually on my wife's side. And so this family reunion was put together over the past, 2 years using Facebook and other social media by her sister, who's a family historian. But she discovered over 850 family members through the Carolinas, through Mississippi, throughout these various states, using, again, this social media. Now, this weekend, about 250 showed up out of the 850 that had been contacted, and I'm sure everyone wanted to be there, but to embody that many people at one location at one time in such a short period of time using this type of media was phenomenal. But the great part about it is that, again, it's on my wife's side of the family, and many of them I've never met. Some of them are familiar with me and the Wednesday Morning Inspiration and also my Facebook post as well. And they invited and embraced me in such a way, it was unbelievable. They're stepping around other family members, Lisa, stepping around other family members to introduce themselves to me. Aren't you Versie Walker? Aren't you the one who wrote a book? Aren't you the one who's on Blog Talk Radio? I'm like, wow, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. And to see the history of the family, to know that they had a street named after them, to know that they had a church and a funeral, I'm not a funeral home, but a grave site that was exclusively there. It was really enriching. But the other thing that happened, and we were able to spend time with not only a family, but there's a few friends and associates that we know in the area, and we were able to spend time with them. And one of my wife's long-term friends said, if you can come back, I know today, you're going to be busy with family, but if you can come back on Sunday, there's an international civil rights museum that just opened up February 1st in town, and it is representative of the Greensboro Four, who sat in the Woolworths in 1960.
What?
And yes, sat in the Woolworths in protest of segregation. I've seen the film adaptation. I've seen the television show that depicted that is usually in the month of February when we're celebrating civil rights and our freedoms and our liberties. But I didn't really understand the magnitude and the depth of what these young men did. And so when we talk about showing up, it's just that sometimes we have to get involved. And oftentimes when we talk about the mind, we use it in the negativity. You have to be out of your mind. What was on your mind? What in the world were you thinking to have did, said, or thought that? And we don't realize the power that is involved in this. And what these 17-year-old men did, four freshmen who sat in a room and said, you know what, we've lived in this area, we've shopped at those stores, we can eat as long as we go through the back door or take a takeout, but we can't sit at the counter. Let us sit in the at the counter until we're served. They walked an entire mile from the school on the day in which they did this, and they did not speak one word as they walked the entire mile. And when they sat at the table, they asked to be served. And the white as well as the black workers denied them, and even the black workers asked them to leave because they were ruining or they were causing trouble for other minorities at the time. This was four boys on February 1st. On February 2nd, it was 50 people. This activity spread throughout the country virally. There was no internet. There was no texting. There was no cell phone. There was some media and there was radio. But within a short period of time, multitudes of people around the world who were doing just what we're talking about now, they were standing back saying, man, we shouldn't, you know, take this. You know, this isn't right. We should do something about it. But no one did until those four boys who had the right mind to do something of that magnitude, not knowing what the result was going to be, because we know back there in Jim Crow, they were more likely to be lynched than being able to walk back to their school. They were so committed, and they had so much conviction that not only did they do the sit-ins, but they did them in shifts so that they would not ruin their academics and their ability to finish out college. And even in the summertime when the college was out, the nearby high school, those minorities, those African-American students, they sat in that protest. It took from from February 1st of 1960 to July 25th, and I was there on July 25th at the ceremony honoring those four men. It took 17 years for this museum to open up, but it brings you over 50 years of history. The facility is so well crafted, so much state of the art, it was unbelievable. I was able to take pictures with one of the four men, and there's only three that are still alive. I was able to take a picture with one of the four men who was there being honored. I was able to take pictures with one of the co-founders who opened up this museum, who had the right mind, the right consciousness to fight and come up with the resources to preserve that Woolworths facility where the actual tile on the floor is still there. The actual seats that they sat in, unupholstered, some of them are splintered, some of them are tattered and torn, but they're still there. Remarkable opportunity. Remarkable. So as we're saying each and every week, you know, be empowered, get empowered, stay focused, become committed. Do something far greater than you ever did before. And if you can just make the decision to show up, you don't know what the results could be, because now those gentlemen made history in 1960, and I'm able to sit on any counter in any place in this great United States of ours and eat anytime I want to.
Wow.
And I pay homage to them. I thank them. And if you ever get an opportunity to go there, LaLisa, I highly, strongly recommend you do so. The professionalism. There was a ceremony across the street at a hotel. This was such a grand, grand ballroom. I mean, the chair molding, the chandeliers, everything emanated power, success, prestige, and respect. They didn't just the workers didn't just send you across the street to the ceremony; they escorted you over. I mean,
wow.
I just can't say enough about what I experienced in this month of July.
This has been a month. This has been some month for you, Mr. Walker. Oh, my God. And I tell you, and I know you have some other things that you're going to mention, but I tell you the phone lines are blowing up. We have people on listening, but I want to let you know we have people from Tennessee listening. God bless my awesome, powerful sister down there, Kiva, with her powerful ministry, Women of Destiny. I'll be going there August the 19th and 20th, I believe, to do a workshop with her that she does there and been doing for years now. But we have someone in the chat room all the way from Germany.
Wow. Wow.
Germany. You hear
God
me?
Bless.
I can't even pronounce the name of the city there, but he is there listening to this show. And I asked him, why did he tune in? He said he was looking for a motivational program to listen to, and this one popped up on his search. Isn't that something? That's why we tell people, stop looking around, do what you can do. But anyway, go ahead, Mr. Walker. I just wanted to acknowledge him, Mr. Jay Early. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. He also has a radio show on Blog Talk Radio, Millionaires in Action. Look how God is just bringing phenomenal people. I've been wanting to go to Germany. But anyway, go ahead, Mr. Walker.
No, no problem. And again, thank you and welcome and welcome. Now, I want to just further delve into, again, the mind and the mindset, not only of those gentlemen, but even of yourself. And I'm sure, you know, someone knowing that you and I have a recent relationship, we're just, you know, becoming, you know, associates, acquaintances, and great friends, they may have asked you, you know, what is on your mind? You know, you're going to have this guy on each Wednesday, and he's going to talk to people. What are you thinking? That's your radio show. You know, hold on to that. Don't let anybody else come in. If you don't let anything in, great things can't come about, and nothing would ever come out. And, again, I continuously thank you because you're allowing me to share on your platform to your listeners that we can now show a united front and show that, you know, power can be spread amongst the many, the masses, and if you don't share the wealth, you will soon become poor, either in spirit, in mind, and in body. And so when we look at the mind, by definition, the mind is actually the aspect of intellectual or intellect and consciousness experienced as a combination of thoughts, perceptions, memory, and emotion, as well as will and imagination. And imagination is probably the very key word. And we're going to talk more about that as the weeks progress. It also talks about cognitive processes, and the term is also used to refer to implication to a thought process or a reasoning. And in the mind, it manifests itself subjectively and also as a stream of consciousness. Also, the definition of mind can be the divine mind, which known in Christian Science is God, the incorporable source of life, substance, and intelligence. Recently, on one of our shows, I discussed in my book, Success, How We Ended Up Here, Miss Gail Devers, and I talked about how she had to overcome the potential and the possibility of having both of her feet amputated and how she may be crippled for the rest of her life. Now, she had to get her mind right to overcome that. She had to believe and receive the message from a divine being that, you know what, that's not the way to go. We're going to get through this in a different way. And so in that book, I talked about her conviction. I talked about her determination and ability to overcome. But also the takeaway for that was her intense focus as well as her intense training regimen, which I believe those same men, those same four men, part of the Greensboro Four, had to have a conviction because it would have been very easy for somebody to get into the ear of one of those boys or men at the time and tell them this ain't right, you know, they can lynch you, you know, you may lose your scholarship, you may get kicked out of school, because it was four of them. So it was four of them doing something grander than anybody had ever done prior to that point. And it could have been very easy to waver, but they didn't. They stayed convicted. They had a mindset that this wasn't right and this too shall pass and we must overcome. So in looking at that, when Gail Devers ever trained, because, see, the mind doesn't really know between reality and a dream. It doesn't know between play and actual. So Gail Devers, when she trained in the capacity that she was in competition. And every time she ran a race, at the end of the race, she poked her chest out to break the yellow strip at the finish line as if she was actually in live competition. So every time she did perform in that capacity, the mind didn't know the difference. It just kicked in and made the adrenaline, the body and the muscles work in the capacity in which she had trained in, which was on the highest level. So that's why she won so many medals and has so much recognition. That was a great takeaway for me, and it changed my life because I began to function, work, and desire in that same capacity, so much so that even when taking an exam, because I self-studied for most of my professional careers, from debt collector, insurance agent, to stockbroker, and even creating my publishing company. Each time I self-studied and I took the exams. When I went into those exam places to take the test, usually were done on computers, so it was very easy. And at the end of the exam, the proctor screen tells you pass or fail. But the weeks and the nights and the days leading up to taking that exam, I always envisioned the word pass going across the screen. And each and every time I completed that process through stress and anxiety and overcoming my fears, I saw my results manifest, invisible manifestation at that point in time, because the word pass rang across the screen, and I walked out of there a complete person because I completed the process because of the way my mind functioned. I didn't think of lack or limitation. I thought about success and being victorious. And I think most people need to see that within themselves and understand that, because the mind is actually the most powerful force in the universe. And if you don't believe that, deal with a three-year-old child who has his mind fixed on doing what he or she wants to do, and it's very hard to change that. We have to consider, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's literally impossible.
It's literally impossible. And we have to see, you know, see why is that. But I want people who listen to our phone calls, who read our books, who experience our movement, which I would like to call it, if you would think in the mindset of a child. My three-year-old child, he never asks, Daddy, did we sell a book today? Daddy, did you make a presentation? Daddy, did you get commission today? He only asks for what he wanted, and was that to be fed, to be nourished, to be embraced, whatever it was. He doesn't ask how you get it done. He just wants to have the results. And we need to go back to having a childlike mentality. We need to think like the Greensboro Four. We need to think like Coach LaLisa. I'm not going to ask how I'm going to get this radio show. I'm not going to ask how we're going to break the chains of segregation. We're not going to ask how we're going to move people from their dead level consciousness to prosperity consciousness. We're just going to provide the information. We're going to sit in. We're going to walk towards. We're going to be about our business. And in doing so, the results will materialize. The resources will start to avail themselves and present themselves in such a fashion that now what was old becomes new. What was impossible becomes possible. And we have to think in that infantile state where all the child does is cry, scream, and rant, and he or she wants and usually gets what they want because they don't see limits. They don't see taxes. They don't see rent. They don't see the glass ceiling. They see life in its infinite power that they can have all that they see and it can be all that they want to be. And we need to get that mindset back and become that person or those persons. Yeah, you know, when I tell you that it's hard to change, you know, a made-up mind, think about, you know, the woman who weighs all of 90 pounds, who looks into the mirror and professes that she's overweight and must go on a diet. You see someone who's probably near close to death, but she doesn't see that, or he doesn't see that. They believe in their mind that they're overweight, and they're going to do whatever it takes, you know, through purging themselves, not eating, or whatever it is, to make sure that they look the way they think or perceive themselves to be. And it's hard to convince them otherwise because it's in the psychological. Something told them that, something clicked in their head, you know. So it would be the same thing to tell Rosa Parks, you know, just get up off that bus. You know, today don't even go. Don't sit down. You know, you're breaking the rules. You know, the standard is different. It would be the same thing as IBM creating a chip that they would say one day would be able to almost rule the world, computers. It would have been easy to change their mind or tell them they're out of their mind to think that this can be accomplished. And I know where this comes from, Coach. I really know where this comes from because, especially today with all that's going on in the world, so many people are feeling overwhelmed, overworked, and unappreciated and wish to just give up on life. I ask that anyone in the sound of my voice who's listening, who's hearing, who's going to go back to the archives, do not do it. Do not give up on life. I tell you, if you can change your mind, I can all but guarantee that you can change your outcome. And you can begin living the life that you envision. And that's what those Greensboro Four did for me, and I didn't know any one of them, and I didn't know that I was going to have that opportunity on Sunday, but they envisioned a life where there was no segregation. They envisioned a life where they can go into the Woolworths, that was a five-and-dime store at the time, and buy an item and also sit there at the lunch counter like everybody else and eat dinner, have lunch, be treated with respect. They envisioned that. We have to keep having that vision. We're not done. Our journey's not over. There's still so much more to conquer. But I'm looking and I'm explaining to my children on the way back. I'm like, you guys are fighting over a Nintendo. You're fighting over a one-inch space because you don't want to touch each other. You're fighting over a 10-cent item that you're bringing disharmony to not only your spirit but to one another and to this household. And you just witnessed history, where they still had three of the four men alive, where they were honoring these gentlemen, where they even had some of the workers at the time from the Woolworth sitting there. The same building is still affixed. It is still there. It is still prominent to allow us to remember so that we can never forget. And I keep asking people, just get your mind right.
That is so good, Mr. Walker. And, you know, we're down to 3 minutes left of the show. Oh, my God, that is so powerful, that mind. And, you know, my sister told me something years ago that she had heard from Minister Louis Farrakhan. And she said something, but it never left me. She heard from him, and I'm not sure where he got it, but it said there's nothing more powerful than a made-up mind. So every time I really want to do something, vis-a-vis get a college education, start a new business, start a new project, All I do is I make up my mind to do it.
Because I
believe that also that a made-up mind is powerful, and even I know the scripture says in the book of Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if your mind can transform your entire life, then I know it can go start a business. It can, you know, get your marriage right. It can help you get your finances together and everything else. I made a mind. It can make you love those who you hate.
Oh, yes.
It can make forgive somebody who is stabbing you in the back.
Mm-hmm.
A made a mind. Anyway, you touched on something big that we know is going to continue for two or three more shows. I tell you, you know, the show basically is, but Mr. Walker, again, you are phenomenal. You are large. When you showed up in New Jersey on July 17th, trust and believe, you spoke volumes. So, yes, we attract the kind of people that we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're attracting a lot of sluggards in your life, see, remember the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So if you're attracting people that are horrible, you might want to change your mindset, like what Mr. Walker is talking about. Right? Because the Word of God says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So people are coming in your life, you know, you might want to redirect your thinking. But Mr. Walker, you are awesome. Each and every person on this show are powerful mind thinkers. They are the people that are being attracted to the show. It's not haphazard that you tuned in today to get this strong teaching about the mind and about your thoughts and your thinking, about the great things that have happened in society based on someone else's thinking. So that's all we have time for. Mr. Walker, any closing remarks? And that's it for today.
You know what, I just want to say thank you to everybody. Go out there and keep your mind right and become fearless. Have a great week.
Amen. And we'll see you right back here tomorrow. You're all welcome to tune back in tomorrow. And do like the, I'm not going to do the intro or the outro. Go and tell someone. Tell a friend. Share this. Keep the information going. All right, everybody. God bless.
God bless.